hearts in prayer. Lord, it is with joyfulness that we come before Thee this afternoon. We're thankful for the morning that we had together. As we came together, we read from Thy Word and heard a message from Thee, Lord. We're thankful for that. Thou hast given us an hour to be with our families and friends and could share a meal together. And Lord, now we find ourselves at Thy feet once again, and we give Thee thanks for that. And pray that Thy Spirit would guide us into the truths that we will read. O Lord, may Thy name be exalted and glorified through our coming together, and also, Lord, through what we hear and apply to our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear ones, for this afternoon's reading, our meditation, it's a scripture that I didn't plan on reading as of this morning when I woke up, but after hearing the message this morning, I desire to just continue with the same chapter that we had, which is contained in Ephesians chapter 4, and picking up with verse 17 to the end. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 17 to the end. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So, dear ones, as we have read this portion of Scripture, I don't believe we'll be able to go through it verse by verse. There's so much here to read and to study, just like Brother Andrew couldn't really go through everything verse by verse in the morning. But yet we can touch upon some points that I believe, and even as we heard this morning, we're encouraged to read. And I know that's something that I've been saying a lot, especially lately, that we need to put to practice, to read the Word. I was encouraged to listen to a sermon recently by Brother Urs in Syracuse. And I listened to it, and something that he said in there, that he took it to another level. He didn't say, just read, because we could read and get nothing from it. He said, study. Study the Word. So when we read, we need to actually apply our heart, our time, and study what we read so that it would sink into our hearts, into our minds, so that we would by God's grace, apply those teachings to our hearts, to our lives. And so, dear ones, yes, we must read, but far more than that, study. Study the Word and be able to, through the studying and through the prayerful application, by God's help, come to that image that Jesus Christ is calling us to. And in this first verses that we have read, it talks about walking in the vanity of our mind. He says, I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not. Walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. So, as born-again believers, Apostle Paul is instructing us that if we walk in the vanity of our mind, that means that we are walking really in our own understanding. And that is one of the greatest things that the devil will want to persuade man today is the religion of humanism. Where you believe, you sincerely believe that you have a grasp and you can be the judge of morality, uncleanness, and things like that. Because, and I had a man tell me, he goes, I know you're a Christian, I know you go to church. He goes, I'm glad that I didn't grow up with religion. I'm glad that I didn't grow up with having to have a guilt about what I do. You know, he goes, I'm a good man. I'm a relatively good person. I have good morals. And I don't need that guilt of how I should live. I'm glad my dad didn't take me to church. And he's about as liberal as you can get. His thoughts are so left. He's not ashamed of them. And he says he thinks he's good. He's walking in the vanity of his own mind. Where people love to believe a lie. He'd much rather believe a lie than listen to the truths of God. And they'll take some high-sounding nonsense, and they're being told this is science, and it's nonsense. They know it's nonsense, but they believe it. A man can get pregnant, they say. It's nonsense. They make it sound all high, give you all kinds of terminologies. It's absolute nonsense, and they'll believe it. Educated people means nothing. When he says there, when you have your understanding darkened, your understanding is darkened, you're moving from darkness to darkness in darkness. We should not be surprised at anything that is thrown out at us. They apply to science that which we know. Science taught us that that's not true, and yet they say science says it's true. And they'd rather believe a lie. To push their own agendas. To continue to demoralize, to disrupt, to destroy families, friendships, you name it. Divide, conquer, destroy. That's who the devil is. The father of lies. Every lie that comes through the lips of any man comes from the father of it. The mother of lust, we know, is man, and the father of lies is the devil himself. And so when those things come together, you have sin. And we have, dear ones, the father of lies, who darkens the understanding. And what does he do? He says there, and then being alienated. So being in darkness, you are alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. They can't see. They're blind. They can't see. But they think they're smart. They think they're moral. They think they're good people. And what is the definition of good? Jesus says only God is good. And so a life, living the life of humanism, living the life where you are led by your own understanding, it's the vanity of your own mind. You're alienated from God. And so God enables us and gives us an ability to live, to express in human terms. He gives us this ability to live out in human terms, in our everyday lives, the life of God. But dear ones, as was mentioned this morning, we can't be exposed to untruths. You know, the question was asked, what makes up a church or a believer? You know, if there is anything less than the gospel that is being preached from this pulpit, if there's anything less than that, if there's any untruths that come out, this isn't a church then. It's not a church. It's called a church. It's a religion. But there's no faith. There's no Christ here. Because you can't water down the gospel of Jesus Christ to make it sound good so you or me or whoever can join the church. God never intended it that way. He never laid that out. Jesus himself, who is meek and mild, as the hymn writer says, and yet I'm not so sure that he's so mild, because his mildness never is shown when it comes to when God's glory is at stake. When God's honor is at stake, Jesus isn't mild. What does he do to the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Is he denounces them and calls them vipers. Generation of vipers. Is that a mild Jesus that we like to think of? Meek, yes. He's the meekest of all men. He went about doing good. He loved. That's who he is. That's his character. And that's how we can go live our life, emulating on a human level the very life of God himself. And in verse 19, he says, who being past feeling have given themselves over, who being past, what a dangerous, dangerous position it is. You think about it, if you can't feel any pain, that's dangerous. Because you don't know what hurts you. You don't know. You could put your hand, you could be backing up into something that is a blade spinning, a mower, something. You could run into something and not even know what is taking place because you have no sense of pain. You're past feeling spiritually. He says they are past feeling. There's nothing that moves them anymore. You see how we can degrade and we can get to a point of being past feeling where suddenly sin, when you toy and play with sin, sin suddenly doesn't become so dangerous. Sin is not so something that must be watched at all costs. You pass feeling. You slowly adjust. I remember Brother Jim said decades ago in one of his sermons in the old church, probably, he said, repeated exposure generates tolerance. And when you generate a tolerance for sin, you're past feeling. Dangerous place to be. Have we generated any tolerance for sin? In our own life, I'm talking. Don't look at nobody else. In our own lives, have we generated a level of tolerance? I'm only going to go right here and that's it. I'm not going to go no more. We're past feeling. We know how when we were first baptized into the family of God, and we know how sensitive our consciences were. You know, I had a soul come to me and ask me for forgiveness for something that, you know, was not at all anything to be even asked for forgiveness. But I told him, I said, I don't want to deaden your conscience. Keep it alive. Keep it alert, sensitive to sin, but be free. Because once we start adjusting, we're going to be past feeling. It's in the, and they have given themselves over into lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now, here it says, Paul says, they've given themselves over. In Romans chapter 1, he says, God has given them over. God gives them over, we give ourselves over. Pharaoh hardened his heart, God hardened his heart. It starts with us. Once we start to go past feeling, once we start to toy and adjust our lives to sin and believing lies and the deceits and the evil that is taking place in the world, it says God will also give us over unto a reprobate mind. Come out of that if you can. Come out of that. And he says, but you have not so learned Christ. No. That's not what you learned from Christ. What did you learn from Christ? We know what we learned. All things holy, all things pure, all things righteous, righteous altogether, pure. Beauty, love, gentleness, and meekness. You want to govern your life? Want to govern a church? Open His Word. And see what God will teach us through Christ. Follow that. I was speaking with a brother at noon. He says, we cannot give an inch. Like, there's no room to give in when it comes to God's glory, God's honor, when it is at stake. And that is when the preaching of the word and the teaching in the church and what the church holds as doctrine based on His word cannot be discussed. You can't give and take. There's no room for that. You don't have a church if you do. That's not how you've learned Christ. You didn't learn Christ in darkness. Stumbling from darkness to darkness in darkness, you're not going to learn Christ. In Corinthians, Apostle Paul says, if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Okay? The minds of those who believe not, they're blinded by the God of this world. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The image of God is His Word. The image of God is the Word. The image of God is Jesus Christ. You cannot know God unless you know Jesus. Study the Word, brothers, sisters, and dear friends. Study the Word so that we may know Him. And so that His light would shine upon us and expel the darkness that is within us in the recesses of our heart. To expel that darkness. If so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. This "if" doesn't mean "if." It's a statement. It's making a statement. It's not saying "if." No, it's saying "if," meaning "it is." Just like when Paul says, if Christ had died. And it's not "if." He's making a statement. Since Christ has died. And so since you have heard of Him and have been taught by Him, and as the truth is in Jesus, He says that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Put off that old manner of life. Put it off. That's up to you and me. Put it off. You and I can take that off. That manner of life. Because we have learned Christ, we must put that off. He says, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. That's what you and I have to put off. And that, my dear friends, is what you have chosen not to put off. Okay, let's think about what happened right before the crucifixion of Jesus. This is where we all have been. And it's where you, my dear friends, outside of Jesus Christ, stand today. So, there was a custom. There was a custom that at the Passover, there would be a prisoner that would be released to the people. And the people are being presented with Jesus to let Him go. Pilate is saying, let Him go. Here, I'll present you Him. They said, no, no, no. We want Barabbas. We want Barabbas to be free. And so you today outside of Christ are saying, I want Barabbas, a thief, a liar, a murderer. You're saying, I want the devil. I don't want Jesus. That doesn't sound good, does it? That sounds harsh. It sounds, no way, I'm not saying that. Every moment we would rather spend with the devil, we are saying, free Barabbas, hang Jesus. But you have heard of Him. You have learned of Him. And you still say, give me Barabbas? We know that Barabbas went free because Jesus died for him. That's what that was showing, that the guilty, the one with sin, would go free. And the one who was innocent would die. That's for all of us. Every one of us was a Barabbas. Guilty, sentenced to death, but Jesus died for us. Now, will you choose Him, the one who died for you? Or would you rather stumble into darkness unto greater darkness? So put off the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt. Corrupt. The old man is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. The devil is still deceiving us to drive us to lust, to envy, to anger, to greed, to everything that we didn't learn in Christ. Everything that we learned in Christ, and seen on him is a life of God. And that life, which is beautiful, which brings peace, which brings joy in the midst of chaos. And you know, I'm not trying to sound like an alarmist, but I think we all can be alarmed to an extent of what is taking place in the world today. The rapidness of which the degradation of society has come, it's unbelievable. And as it continues to go at a pace that is far greater than we had ever imagined. And who's to say that the almighty dollar isn't going to crumble in like fashion, and you and I will be left with nothing. Nothing. You're going to go through those canned goods that are in your basement to protect you. You're going to go through those in a matter of days, especially if your neighbor's hungry. You got to give it to him too. But are you going to hoard it for yourself? You're going to go through all that, and then what? Then what? Follow the throngs? Accept the mark? Go along with the system that is out to control? That's what Satan does. Control us. Divide us. Destroy us. As believers, he wants us to crumble and to fall. And it's taking place. Many, many circles are being disrupted. Now I'm hearing there's talk of churches considering women in leadership. There's no room to give for that. There's no room in Scripture for that to take place. There's no room for it. But it's too hard of a topic to sound an alarm for the watchman to cry out and say, "Watch!" It's easier to stay quiet. I didn't support it. I don't support this. You and I all have the Spirit, brothers and sisters. We are our brother's keeper. We are to sound an alarm. We are all to be to have the cry of a watchman when we see danger approaching, lurking, sneaking, trying to make inroads into our own hearts and lives. And when he does it into my heart and life, he's gotten into the church because I'm in the church. That's why repentance is not a popular thing to be preached and taught in nominal Christianity. It's not popular. It creates the need for a change. People run from churches that demand changes. And it's not the church that is demanding it. The church doesn't put out its own creed of what you must do. It's Christ. You've learned this from Christ. And he says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man. This is that new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's the man that you and I are to put on. Righteous and holy. So he says, wherefore, putting away lying. Imagine Paul talking to a believer. Don't lie. Don't lie. Putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Can we imagine that the entire, all of Christ's teaching, all of what we believe is based on truth, and that we would lie? Lie. You know, maybe it can happen to us that in a moment we're faced with some quick and we'll lie. Because the thought of telling the truth is so great, the consequences are so great for us at that moment, we might lie. And we can go to bed that way. And we can start to grow tolerant to it. And we reason and weigh in our minds what's easier and what's better. So we think it's okay to lie to a man who can do nothing to me. But I'll go ahead and lie. It's not a big deal to lie to God. It's not a big deal. We convince ourselves. We believe a lie. Let's not marvel at the world who's believing this silly nonsense that is going on. Let's not say, well, how can they? Well, how can you and I lie and still be okay with it? He's speaking to the church. Don't lie. All of our faith is built upon truth. There's no room for lying of any kind. That's why when you go to bed and when you think about the deeds of your day and you go through them and say, whoa, what was I thinking? I wasn't. And you pray for forgiveness and you ask the Lord and you go and you make right. The Bible tells us when you go give your gift to the altar and you remember that your brother has aught against you, stop. Jesus says, stop. Leave your gift. Don't go. Don't go. I'm not going to accept it. I'm not going to accept your prayer. I'm not going to accept your song. I'm not going to accept anything from you right now. You know your brother has aught against you. You know what you did was wrong. Go make peace now. And so what we think it's, oh, I'm going to be such a good Christian. I'm not going to partake of communion that day. Because it's easier to not partake of communion than it is to go make peace with my brother. And the next communion service, I'm not going to partake of communion because I still didn't make peace with my brother. And we think we're good, being good. Look, Lord, pat myself on the back. I didn't partake of communion, you know, because I'm not ready. We do it all humbly and meekly. Because we tolerate sin in our lives. That's not what Jesus is saying. He's not saying leave your gift and go your own merry way and keep on. He says go make peace. That's the focus of what we must put on. Go make peace. That's what needs to drive me. I cannot sleep because I have to go make peace. I have to go correct that lie that I made. I have to make peace with my brother because God will not accept anything from me unless I do. That's the word. That's the truth of the word. Now, I can give you a less harsh version, but that's for me. That's for me. That's the vanity of my mind. What good is it? It doesn't lead you to any repentance. It doesn't lead you to anything. It leads you to a comfortable life outside of Christ, being deceived that you are in Christ. It's terrible. It's terrible when we can be led to. And my time is running out, but he goes on. He says, "Be ye angry and sin not." And you know, oftentimes we might think that means, "See, we're allowed to be angry." Why would you or I ever say, "I can be angry"? Really? Why would I want to be angry? Paul is saying, "In your anger, don't sin." In other words, get out of your anger. In other words, he says, let not the sun go down on your wrath. That means in that provocation, stop. You're going to sin. Stop. Correct. Get out of it. Jesus had, we like to say, well, Jesus was angry. When God's honor is at stake, let's look at our own lives. When God's honor is at stake through my own heart and life, am I going to get as angry as I am when it's happening through my brother? Probably not. Why not? Why not? It says, don't give place to the devil. Don't give him an inch, like that brother mentioned to me. Don't give him a place. Nowhere. Don't give him a place. You give him a place, he's got your heart. The Lord doesn't need you then. Not that way. He's calling you, but he won't take you that way. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. You know, I believe only those who can grieve the Spirit are those who have the Spirit. And so when you and I sin, we grieve him. The Lord weeps. As he wept over Jerusalem, he will weep over us and our soul. Our soul, which will go on, in a place of torment, separated from him and all of his goodness, because we grieved him. We really didn't want him. We gave place to the devil. We didn't learn that from Christ. We didn't learn that from him. And we grieved the Holy Spirit. And so he says here, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So are we going to say here it says be angry? Here it says put away anger? Is that like a conflict there? No, you and I are in the flesh. And you and I may have a flare of some, you know, is it wrong to have a moment of anger as we see a child is maybe exploited and rapes take place and the things you can't even think about what goes on? Is it to have a flash of in our own, but it's not to bring it to a provocation where we are to do something with it? He says, come out of that wrath, get out of that anger. But to be angry at my brother and dwell on that? He says, let all anger and bitterness and wrath, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And what, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We have so much to study and to learn and to apply by God's grace. And may he give unto us, dear brothers, dear sisters, and dear friends, a heart that is pliable, willing to give of ourselves, to give. Actually, I just read one more verse and then in Hebrews 10:34, it says, you had compassion of me. Paul is speaking. So you had compassion of me in my bonds. And you took joyfully, this is something that brothers and sisters, let's think about what Paul is saying here. He says, you took joyfully, not hard, but you took it. He said, you took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. You lost all of your possessions, Paul is saying here. Joyfully lost your possessions because you had compassion of me in my bonds. You supported me. You came to me. You visited me. You lost your possessions because of that. Because you associated yourself with me. You took a loss and you're joyful. You imagine now, you're going to lose your house. You're going to lose everything that you know in your life because you're supporting your brother in Christ who is maybe in prison. And you don't care. You're happy to do that because you want to support him. Do you and I have that faith? Are we going to say, oh, it's much better? Let's just, you know, we can't be out there. We can't put ourselves out there. Yeah, that's what the apostles did, right? Didn't put themselves out there. No, you're not to be brash. You're not to be, but you're supposed to be confident. Confident in Christ, believing, having that faith and that hope that takes us through everything. Everything. And on to our heavenly reward. What a joy. What a blessing. The Lord wants to fill us with and peace. It's there for us. He is giving it. It's for us to take. May he bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.
Every day we wake up, we're facing decisions. Solomon, in the Proverbs, is talking about what Brother touched on. Chapter 3, verse 5, in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding." Our understanding, leaning onto our understanding, is a example of that, of the customer of Brother Louis, that he was justifying everything wrong he was doing. I believe he knows that he is not doing right thing if he was happy that he doesn't have that burden of conscience because he didn't go to church. Because he didn't spend too much time in church to hear the truth. That's a human understanding. Brother talked so much about nonsense that so many intellectuals or so many knowledgeable people believe lies into. Just the stuff that does not make sense, stuff that is wrong, stuff that is lies. And they are being deceived. Why? Because they chose to lean on their own understanding or lean onto the human wisdom, which James is telling us in number four. Chapter 4, number 4, verse 4. He says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." The same goes for wisdom of the world. Wisdom of the world is not the same as wisdom of God. Wisdom that Solomon is talking in Proverbs throughout the whole book. What is wisdom? We were singing about simplicity. God's wisdom is not hard to understand. We just need to trust. There's so many things that scientists claim that are complex, that it's hard to understand regarding genders. And they make themselves believe that there's more than just male and female. We're talking about nonsense that is bombarding us lately. And like I mentioned, so many bright people, so many knowledgeable people, wise people, we would say, that are educated, they will believe that kind of stuff. That's why when we are faced with a decision, we can choose either human wisdom or God's wisdom, either foolishness or wisdom. It's coming from God. May the Lord give us grace, each and every one of us, to choose what we know is truth. To choose what we know means well for each and every one of us. Not that I have choice to be whoever I want to be or whatever I want to be, but that I can serve the Lord, that I can love Him with all my heart and mind and soul and all my power. May the Lord give us grace that we could choose wisely and be to His service, to His honor and His glory. Amen.